Here's a wild stat for you. Job seekers who reach out directly to hiring managers are 2 times more likely to land interviews. We've seen it over and over and over with our coaching clients. But most people either skip cold outreach because it feels awkward, time-consuming, or like, what the hell do I even say? Or worse, they don't skip it, but they do it wrong and make a bad impression. That's why I put together our interview-getting email templates with over 15 email and LinkedIn message templates, follow-up emails, AI prompts for quick customization, and a super, super simple strategy to help you book more interviews, all within minutes. You can grab them right now at carlyagar.com/emails, or just click the link in today's show notes. But do it fast, because these won't be available much longer. You are listening to the Customer Success Career Coach. Today's episode is all about one of the biggest things I see sabotaging interviews before you even get into the interview, which is overthinking. I'm sitting down with Zach, one of our coaches, to break down exactly how overthinking shows up in your interview prep, why it makes you come across as both disorganized and lacking confidence. And Zach's going to share the exact framework that he uses with all of our clients to help them shift from operating out of fear to showing up to your interviews ready to win. So you're going to want to stay until the end. What if the only thing standing between you and your next big career milestone is just a strategy you haven't heard yet? I'm Carly Agar, customer success veteran, award-winning career coach, and your go-to for getting hired and promoted in customer success. Whether you're breaking into the field or ready to level up into leadership, this podcast is your shortcut to real career growth. Every episode is packed with practical takeaways, data-backed strategies, and zero fluff advice that actually works, so you can start making moves towards your goals immediately. If you're ready to take control of your career, well, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Customer Success Career Coach Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Customer Success Career Coach. If you're new to the show, welcome. You picked a really good episode to tune in on. And if you are not new, thank you for joining us again. Today, I'm bringing you a conversation with Zach, who is one of the incredible coaches here at Carly Agar Training. What makes Zach uniquely qualified to talk about interviewing is his background. I'll let him share all about that in just a second, but he has such a unique combination of talent acquisition expertise plus hands-on customer success experience. So, like, when Zach tells you something about interviewing, you should listen. He's also coached hundreds of our job seeker clients through this process. And Zach really has this incredible ability to help people just get out of their own heads and show up to interviews authentically and confidently. I'm really excited to dive into today's episode all about how to stop overthinking before interviews and start showing up with confidence instead. Zach, welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you, Carly. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to be here.
It's about time, I would say.
I agree.
All right, Zach, what should listeners know about you and your background before we dive in?
I probably have a bit of a unique background in that I was a CS transitioner, and a lot of my CS experience actually blends the world of recruiting and interviewing and customer success. So I spent the better part of a decade within the talent acquisition ecosystem, supporting large organizations, Fortune 500 companies, on their interviewing processes and strategies, as well as just overall talent acquisition. And I've spent the better part of 8 years total in customer success, from various stages managing SMB, mid-market, enterprise strategic accounts, building success at an early stage startup as well. So my experience kind of runs the gamut when it comes to customer success, but it really kind of has this unique intersection of customer success and talent acquisition and how those two worlds kind of blend together, and knowing the ins and outs of each side.
Which makes you the perfect customer success career coach.
Yeah, well, we appreciate the perfect nature of that compliment.
Do you want to talk a little bit about coaching and kind of like what your experience has been working with job seekers on the team?
Yeah. If there's anybody out there that's ever thought about coaching in any capacity, whether it's coaching, you know, sports or your friends or family or, you know, others in different areas, like I think it's something you should really take advantage of. My experience here and working with job seekers, I think there's a couple of things that have really stood out to me is that there's so many misconceptions in the market and how interviewing works and the things you need to be aware of and how people look for careers, how they network, how they position themselves. There's just so many misconceptions out there of how to do it well. And I think the other thing that I notice a lot of is the market dictates the way that people internalize themselves and the skills that they offer. And so through coaching, it's a really interesting experience to be able to work with people to understand who they are, what they have to offer, and how they position themselves throughout their job seeking process to be able to find their success in that world, whatever that means to them, landing their next job, moving up into mid-market or enterprise roles, or various other success metrics they might be really keen to land in their next role.
Thanks for sharing that, which is a great segue into today's topic, all about overthinking and really overanalyzing before you get onto an interview. So I want to dive right in with my first question for you, which is, how have you seen overthinking mess with a candidate before an interview, both in how they show up and also in how they see themselves?
I think the first thing in terms of like how people show up and really look and internalize things is they operate out of a place of concern and a place of fear. I think a lot of people really get to a place of trying to prepare for everything and anything imaginable in an interview. And it's physically impossible to prepare for anything. And so that overthinking comes in because they're worried about how the interviewer might ask a particular question on risk or adoption, or they might be worried about a question that may not even come up before. And some of that has to do with the fact that they've been in interview experiences where they've been caught off guard and underprepared. And other times it's just due to the natural fear that their preparation isn't as strong, that they aren't as detailed, that they aren't as concise in their responses, that they aren't as articulate in how they present themselves. And so it creates this fear that they're not prepared, that they don't have what it takes. And, you know, the way I talk to a lot of folks that I coach is it becomes this operation of trying not to lose something. It's more of a mindset thing than it really is about how you prepare and how you show up. There's ways that you be consistent and committed in that process to overcome some of that, but it really is a really difficult mindset shift for people to kind of get out of that overthinking mode and into, you know, a place of confidence.
I really liked two things that you said. One was, well, I liked all of it, but especially like two things that you said. One was because of the fear, they tend to fall into this maybe bad habit or just pattern of trying to prepare for any possible question they could be asked. And I think that's something we're all guilty of, probably not even just in job seeking, but in any interaction where you're not quite sure how the conversation is going to go or what's going to be expected of you. Like, I'm sure CSMs in the role can relate to that too. And I've seen that time and time again. And then there was one thing that really stood out to me, which you said, when you are overthinking and you're operating from this place of fear, it kind of shifts you into this mindset of, I'm trying not to lose something. Can you talk about how that kind of energy could be perceived by an interviewer?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to double back on your point of like preparing for anything, you know, like we've all tried to prepare even for client calls in this customer success world, right? And you get surprised by something. And so it's our human nature to try to be prepared to handle different situations. So we don't operate in a position of anxiety or again, fear. I mean, I've been in interviews where I've been asked how many babies were born in the world every year. And there's no way in the world that anybody could ever prepare for things like that, right? So because you get into that fear mindset and you get to that place of potentially feeling that urge that you're losing something, the way that that presents itself in interviews is typically twofold, right? Number one, your responses, the way you articulate yourself, becomes very disorganized. It comes across as your answers are extremely verbose. They might lack critical details. You might skip through some of your examples. So you might start with trying to organize and orient how this particular risk customer that you turned around, it starts there. You start to get into some of the details. Then you go back to something else because you left that out, and your story just jumps through moments. So it comes very disorganized. It also comes from a place of lack of confidence. The CS world requires you to be confident, to require you to be in front of customers, have conversations, whether they're difficult or positive interactions, to really be operate from a place of confidence that you know what you're doing and that you know what you're talking about, and your customer can believe and trust in you in that. And so interviewers can interpret this overthinking as somebody who doesn't bring that to conversations, and they don't feel as confident about you and putting you in front of their customer population. So there's a few things that it tends to bleed out in those interview scenarios, but the biggest two would be there's just a lack of organization and structure in your answers, and then just a pure lack of confidence that you don't believe in yourself. So how could they potentially believe in you?
I'm so glad you brought that back to how you show up in front of customers, because we know from doing this for such a long time, but also just from talking to so many hiring managers in the space, I think this is true for anyone who's interviewing or job seeking for any sort of customer-facing role, but especially for customer success managers. You're almost doing two things in an interview, which is you're trying to sell yourself, but you're also essentially demonstrating exactly how you show up in the role just by the way you speak and the confidence that you bring to conversation. So they're not just judging the contents of what you're saying, but they're also very critically judging the delivery of your content, of your story, of whatever it is you're saying. And so if you're showing up and you have disorganized talk tracks, if your stories lack details, if you don't seem confident in what you're saying, they're, like you said, just thinking, oh my gosh, is this how they're going to sound in front of customers? We can't have that.
Exactly. And I think that also brings up another good point too, because oftentimes people always feel, or maybe get feedback throughout these interview processes, that they need to be conversational. And conversational isn't always question, answer, back and forth. It comes across with confidence. It comes across with organization and structure. It comes across with your ability to just operate in a place that you can hold yourself in any conversation, whether it's a Q&A style, an interview, a renewal discussion, a risk conversation. Like, operating in a place of conversation requires you to have that confidence, requires you to have that ability to just navigate a situation and be organized and structured. And so, like, that, you know, conversational piece of it can really be missing if you start to operate in this way.
So what you're saying is, oftentimes people say in interviews, it's better to be conversational, especially in a relationship-oriented role. You want to showcase that you can hold a conversation and build rapport with people. And oftentimes when we talk about being conversational in an interview, people will say, oh, well, ask the interviewer some questions, make it a two-way conversation. But if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is being conversational is also being able to adapt and show up to any style of conversation. And in an interview, we know that that oftentimes is just a Q&A.
Yeah, exactly. If you can show up in those moments and you can present yourself in an authentic, organized, and confident way, you prove that you have the capabilities of holding conversations, regardless of the type of conversation you might find yourself in.
I have never thought about it that way, or have never heard it explained that way. And I really like that. I think that's such a good angle to view it from. Like, you're right, being conversational is not just being able to ask questions. It's just being able to adapt to any conversation. Makes so much sense.
If it were only that easy.
Okay, speaking of things being too easy, What is something or some things that you maybe notice or hear from clients that you're working with where their gut instinct when they are in that overthinking, overanalyzing, operating from a place of fear mode leading up to an interview? What are some things that they naturally want to do in those moments where you're like, oh my gosh, don't do that. That's only going to make it worse.
I think the hardest part about, you know, that particular question is just being able to find yourself and have the self-awareness that you're in that mode. And so the first thing I always encourage people to think of is operate from a place of understanding the point you're trying to get across. Understand, you know, the simplest way is just answer the question, right? And I think a lot of people get to a place where when they're preparing and they're thinking through this and they're in this place of fear and, you know, overthinking, they don't necessarily answer the question, or they're questioning whether their answer answers the question. So it becomes this over-analysis of how they've structured their response. Is it too much detail? Is it enough detail? What do I cut? What do I add in? Do I sound rehearsed? They just overanalyze every aspect of it. And really, it's just, first step is like, let's just break it down and go, let's just focus on the question, like answer the question. Let's focus on how the point that you're trying to get across in that answer is kind of the first part of it. Another thing that I typically see folks really struggle with is they then feel like they don't have strong examples or perspectives or strong stories to be able to incorporate into their experience. So they start to really struggle identifying, maybe I've never worked in a situation where I've had a difficult conversation with a coworker, or maybe I've never really had a situation where I've come to this place. And so they start to just have moments of doubt in their catalog of experience to be able to pull examples that they can really draw from to showcase the skills that they do have. Because 9 times out of 10, most everyone has examples they can bring and stories they can tell. But when they start to overthink, it's like, well, wait a second, I don't, because they said this specific word and I don't have that word in my catalog of experience. So I don't have that experience altogether. And I think the last thing is people then get to a place of preparing more for the questions that they could anticipate instead of how they can represent their experience. So a good example of that is oftentimes people in sessions will come in and they'll say, hey, is there anything that, you know, is there anything when you look at this job description or when you look at my prep that you think like I should be prepared to answer? Or like anything that you've seen that other people are being asked and that I should be prepared for? And my response is always, I'm sure I could tell you everything, but again, that gets you to a place of trying to prepare for every possible question that comes through. And it's more important to prepare your experience and those examples and perspectives towards description, towards the company, towards the particular industry or product that you might be supporting in that potential role, should you get it, instead of, well, I have to be able to cover everything. And so oftentimes I'll tell people, hey, let's just start with a story. Let's come up with an example, right? So let's talk about an account that maybe you had that was at risk. And let's go through that story. And how would you tell that story the first time? And okay, well, that story actually has good content to be able to apply in a different capacity where it might talk about lack of adoption and how you grew adoption of a customer. And so it's not necessarily that you're trying to prepare different examples for things, but that's how people get to when they start to overthink, is I have to have an example for every possible question. And when in reality, how can we prepare what you have in your arsenal to bring to the table to be able to be versatile across any type of question you might run into?
Okay. This is really, really, really good. And I want to summarize a lot of what you just said because there's so many valuable things in there. But that last point you just made is something I know I find myself saying time and time again with job seekers, which is, let's just use retention as an example. If you try to anticipate every question you could get in a single interview about retention, there's probably 1,000. Because there are 1,000 different ways that you could be asked your approach to retaining customers, right? Or examples of times that you did renew a customer. So if you try to anticipate all 1,000 questions you could get about retention, what you're going to do is you're going to start to overanalyze. Then you're going to feel like you're ill-prepared. And then, like you said earlier, you're going to get into that interview and you're going to be disorganized and you're not going to sound confident. Whereas if you do what you just suggested, which is, hey, why don't you just take some time to self-reflect on how you drive retention and think of an example? And it doesn't matter which of those 1,000 possible questions you could get, because you are focused on what you bring to the table and you are going to be able to articulate that confidently.
Yeah, exactly. The way I try to analogize this, you know, and I'm a dad with young kids, right? So one of the things I really try to emphasize is, hey, let's focus on what we can control and not focus on who and what's around us and what we can't control. And so we can't control what questions we're going to get. We can't control how they're going to be asked. We can't control to the level of detail that they're expecting versus what another interviewer might be expecting. But what we can control is how we look at our experience, how we articulate our experience in a way that, again, has that versatility to say, how do I think about managing risk customers? How do I think about approaching difficult renewal conversations? And channeling your experience in a way that's just more of what you control and less of the outward, what can't I control and how do I try to control that?
I love that. So to recap everything you just said, what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, is if I am preparing for an interview, or let's just say that I know myself and I know that when I am preparing for an interview, I tend to overthink and I tend to show up from a place of fear. What I should not be doing is overanalyzing all of my talk tracks. I should not be allowing myself to start to doubt all of my experiences and examples and trust that they're good enough, and also focus on what I can control. Like, I can't change what experiences I've had. And what I should also not do is focus on every possible question I could be asked. Then what you're saying I should do instead is, leading up to the interview, my entire focus should be on me. It should be on what I've done, what I've achieved, how I go about doing things, situations I've experienced, accounts I've turned around, like those really specific examples. Just focus on what I bring to the table. And then in the interview itself, to protect me from being disorganized or not articulating things confidently, I shouldn't focus so much on what I'm saying. My primary focus should be on, am I answering the question they asked me?
Yeah, exactly. I think you've captured my verbose terms in a much more concise manner. So thank you.
I always love a good summary. I hope you are loving today's episode. My team and I have now helped well over 800 people land jobs in customer success. And let me tell you, you do not want to navigate this crazy job market by yourself. So head on over to carlyagar.com/apply to see if one-on-one coaching might be the right next step for you. Spots do fill up very quickly, so don't wait. It's totally free to apply. I'll also leave the link to apply in today's show notes. Now let's get back to the episode. Okay, this is all super, super helpful. And I know that a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this. Now, if someone is listening right now and they are not lucky enough to be one of our clients and to get to work with you leading up to their interviews, what is something that they can do or practice on their own if they feel like they are spiraling into that overthinking leading up to an interview?
The first thing I always suggest to, you know, folks that are kind of operating in this place of overthinking is, find your superpower. Identify your unique offering and abilities. So whether that's you're great at building relationships and mitigating risk, whether that's you're really great at identifying customer pain points and strengthening product adoption or use cases, or you're great at expansions and driving revenue growth, like, or you're just really good at problem solving or really seeking understanding with customers to be able to deliver against their key outcomes. find the thing that makes you you and makes you different. I think too often people get caught up in, what do I need to sound like so I sound like somebody who they would hire? And in reality, let's just focus on, what do you bring to the table that makes them excited about you coming into their team? And so operate out of a place of, what's my superpower? What do I bring to the table that they should know? The second thing that I think is just, again, focusing more on, what experiences do I have? What things from those experiences do I want to be sure I get across in my interview, right? So the way I try to position this with a lot of people is, you know, imagine you've met a friend. You might have met them through a mom group. You might have met them through a church. You might have met them through mutual friends, and you're getting coffee with this person. And it's meant to be a conversation to get to know each other, to understand if you want to continue developing a friendship or a relationship with this particular person or whether you don't. And that's what an interview really is. You're meeting someone to understand, is this the right role for me? Is this where I want to be? Can I see myself working for them? So approach it as a conversation that allows you to explore your interests as well as theirs. It's a mutual aspect and a mutual relationship. There's oftentimes people say, well, interviews should be two-way. And yeah, well, two-way means that as you're presenting your experience in those things, do they understand what you bring to the table? Do they hear you? And if they don't, that might be because you're not articulating your superpower, your unique offering. So really think through, you know, how you approach the conversation and less of worrying about what they're going to bring into the conversation and, you know, grill you with questions. And the last thing is, I got this piece of advice when I first started interviewing, when I left college, from a mentor. And it's always stuck with me, is remember to be yourself throughout the process and show up for yourself in whatever capacity that means. It's more important in that way, because pretending to be someone you're not through interviewing, if you land that job, you're expected to be somebody you're not. And it gets to be a lot harder to be your authentic self in your job when you aren't presenting yourself that way. And so be yourself. Show up to those conversations. Show up to your preparation. Like, if in your stories you want to throw in a joke or some sort of like fun analogy to make it a more engaging story, do it. If you're somebody that's like more kind of like straight business, kind of straight to the point, but you're really thorough in how you've presented your case, then be that. So operate out of a place of authenticity as you start to kind of prepare, and that'll get you out of that overthinking mode back to that place of like, who am I? What do I bring to the table? What are the unique superpowers that I have that I want to be sure when they leave that conversation, they look at me and go, that person is different. We want that.
I'm so glad you said be yourself, because sure, you could argue that that's cliche advice. Everyone knows, of course, I should be authentic in an interview, but I'm willing to bet there are a lot of folks listening to this right now going, oh my gosh, you're totally right. I have not been being authentic, and I've been trying to put on this act, trying to fit a mold. And maybe that's why I don't feel like myself in these interviews, and I'm not coming across as the confident professional I know that I am, because I've been acting. I've not been being myself. So I think it is a really good reminder, and something that, especially if you've been in the throes of job seeking for many months or even many weeks, it can really start to eat away at you and you start to forget these simple things. So I know that that's going to help someone listening right now.
So the one last point I'd make on that is, like, we talked earlier about how we operate out of the fear of losing something when we get into this place of overthinking. And changing that, getting yourself out of that, being authentic to you, owning your superpower, it's really positioning yourself in a confident way that shows that you have the skills or the experience in whatever capacity that you bring to the table. You now operate out of a place of winning the interview and winning that opportunity. And so instead of coming into the conversation thinking, oh, I don't want to lose this, operate out of a place of like, how do I win? What do I need to do to win? And those things of getting out of that overthinking and just getting back to what you can control in yourself really puts you in a place to win and not focus on the outside things that, again, you can't control, right? And to your point, like, job seeking is, it's a game of no's. you will always hear more no's in the job hunting process, no matter what. There's rarely ever a time that somebody goes one for one. They interview at one company and they land that job and it's the first one they've tried to apply to. That rarely, if ever, happens. So you're always going to hear no. And it gets demoralizing the more you hear it. But we're always just one yes away from what we want, right? It's just one yes. And that's all we have to think about. So how do I win the yes? How do I win the yes? And that's all we try to get to out of that place of overthinking.
I like your suggestion of not walking into it thinking like, oh, I hope I don't lose this. I hope I don't blow this. And instead, almost shifting your mindset to like, I'm so excited to knock their socks off. Or like, I'm so excited for them to get to know me because I know I bring a lot to the table. And I'm so excited to see if this is a good fit from both sides. Because I already know what I bring to the table, but I want to see if what I'm bringing is what they're looking for. And if what they're offering is what I'm looking for. I think that is way easier said than done. But if you can shift your mindset, especially in those moments, like right before the interview, you will come across as being so much more confident.
Yeah. And I think the other aspect of that is that you leave that conversation and that interview, and if that one doesn't work out, you feel much better about your performance coming out of that than you do if you go in there trying not to lose it and you lose it because you beat yourself up over it. You're hypercritical. You get back to that place of overthinking, right? You're constantly in that hamster wheel. So just flipping that allows you to go, I left it all out there. I left nothing to chance. I presented exactly how I wanted to. I was authentic to myself. I was confident. I articulated my experience. It just wasn't what they wanted. Okay, then it wasn't the place for me. But I can be happy and content in the fact that I'm representing myself the way I want to, which will create more confidence as you go through that process.
If I'm a job seeker and I'm trying to shift my mindset so that when I get out of an interview, I'm not immediately thinking, oh, it's my fault. Oh, I should have done X, Y, and Z. I should have said this differently. I should have used that story instead of this one. How do I balance not being overly critical while also being critical enough to where I can, through a very truthful and accurate lens, analyze my performance and decide where I need to improve?
Your question's all baked around how do I not be overly critical, but have enough critique of my performance, right? But the piece that we leave out of that is, what did I do well? What do I feel good about? And so often people just immediately flip to the critique. And so I think you have to find the balance of, what did I like? What did I like about the way I showed up? What did I like about the conversation? What did I like about this particular individual? What did I like about what I heard in the role or the types of things that they shared with me? What did I like about the way I answered some of these questions? And instead of immediately flipping to that overly critical, like, oh my gosh, I totally blew it. Like, I didn't answer that at all. And I feel so bad about that. Like, there are always going to be cases. I've had experiences where I've interviewed and I've left a conversation and that's the first thing I go through is, oh my gosh, that was awful. I blew it. Like, there's no way I'm getting that full, right? You're never going to prevent those types of things. Sometimes you just have an off conversation. It happens. We're human beings. But the more you start to think of, okay, well, what did I do well? What went well in that conversation? The overly critical, oh my gosh, that was horrible, or those sorts of things, like, take a softer judgment to it. Hey, what could I have done better? So a lot of times in interviews, right, especially when it comes to like the presentations and things, the first question you always get after you go through the mock QBR is, hey, how do you think you did? And a lot of times people will be like, oh, I did really good on this. And I feel like I got this across. But next time I think I would do this a little bit differently, or maybe I would have asked another question here instead of, you know, just kind of jumping to pointing to value or throwing a feature at you. But then when we do our own self-reflection by ourselves, leaving a conversation without somebody else there, we're not even talking the same way. Like, it's a different talk track. It's all like, oh my gosh, that was terrible. I didn't answer that right. Like, what was I thinking when I said this? And instead of taking that self-reflection like an interview and saying, oh, well, what did I do well? What can I improve on? Where could it maybe have done better? And then if there are places that you were like, hey, I really flubbed that answer. Okay, fine. Own it. How do I improve? What do I do now to make it better?
Yeah, I think one thing that I always remind folks is when you are assessing your own performance in an interview, I love the, like, this goes back to, oh my gosh, sorority recruiting days where analyzing people who, I don't even remember what it's called, rush, people who are rushing, we would always say a pro and then a con and a pro. So you always start with something positive and end with something positive. So especially love that. I think there are, you know, endless frameworks that suggest the same thing. But when you are critiquing your performance in an interview or even a client call, this applies to both, make sure you're not labeling yourself, but instead specifically labeling the performance or the thing that you could do differently or better. So in other words, instead of saying, oh my gosh, I'm horrible, or I'm so awkward, or I'm terrible at telling stories, it's that story could have been better if I had set up the stakes earlier. Or that story could have been better if I had ended with a result. So instead of labeling yourself, you try to critique the specific elements of the thing.
Yeah, really good point.
Okay, I have one more question for you because you've said the word superpower a couple of times. And I know that there are going to be folks listening to this who are thinking, how do I know what my superpower is? So do you have any advice if someone is thinking, I don't know what it is and I don't know how to find it?
Yeah. First is ask your peers, ask people around you, understand how people see you. I will tell you this, and my wife will probably tell you this too, is I'm not always the most confident and the most don't believe in myself in a lot of ways and in certain capacities, right? We all do. We're humans. But she's a good reminder to me that she says, hey, remember what so-and-so said about you last week? Remember that this happened? And so just seeing the way that others perceive you can be that confidence and asking them, hey, like when you look at me and what I do, what I bring to the table, like, what do you think the things that I do really well? What do you think the things are things that I, you know, maybe do differently from others that you appreciate, right? So understanding your circle and like what they can show and illuminate to you. And sometimes that's your personal circle. Sometimes that's your professional circle. It makes no difference because you can channel that in a way that then goes, okay, so somebody says I'm really good at listening. Okay, well, how does me being a great listener and being a great friend potentially, how does that come across for CS, right? And that might be, hey, like I seek to understand a lot of my customers. I'm really understanding the challenges they have, the pain points they have, the goals that they have, and how they're trying to get there. I'm really good at understanding and diffusing escalated situations because I can hear and interpret and process information and be supportive. I can then be consistent and show up for a customer so that they know that we're working on the escalation or that I have their best interest in mind in partnership building with trying to get them through those pain points or to get them to the goals that they've really aggressively achieved, right? And that all comes from just being a good listener. And so find your circle, find your people, ask for that feedback. And then again, think through, you know, the experiences you've been through in your life, your professional career, and how you've had to grow in certain ways, right? And again, maybe you are someone who's done a lot of great work with customers in expanding and renewing accounts. Great, then that might be one of your superpowers, right? But maybe onboarding and implementation isn't your thing. Okay, fine. Everybody has their thing, right? But look at your experiences. What has gone well for you in your experiences in your life? Where have moments that you have felt proud of what you've been able to deliver, or results that you've been able to get, or things you've been able to accomplish that help form, oh, I actually do that really well. There's a fine line here in some of these things, right? But maybe you're somebody that doesn't take the word no lightly, right? Like there's no way there's that no is the answer. Like there has to be a way. Well, then your superpower might be that like, you relentlessly pursue an answer, a solution, a way. Like you are relentless in your pursuit to find a way to make it work, right? And that comes across for your customers. It comes across for your team, your peers, et cetera. So think through those things. And again, identify, you know, through your circle, professional, your personal, but then also just the things you're proud of and the achievements and things that you've accomplished in your life that you can say, okay, yeah, that is something that's different about me. And then we work to apply it to how does that translate into the customer success world.
I'm so glad you suggested asking other folks what your superpower is, because that's always my number one piece of advice. If you don't know what your superpower is, just ask someone. And you could be so honest and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this job search right now. I'm feeling not super confident in myself. And like, I just need to know from your perspective, what do you think my superpower is? I think it would really help me in an interview. Any past colleague, old manager, whatever it is going to be happy to answer that for you. And then I would add to not just thinking about the things you're proud of, but I always default to things that come really easily to you. That's typically your superpower. And we always miss those things being superpowers because we think, well, if it comes easy to me, it must come easy to everyone else. And so it must not be that impressive. But typically, if it comes easy to you, that's because it is your superpower and it actually isn't something that comes easy to other people. So that could be another area where if you're not sure what your superpower is, just think of all the things that come really naturally to you. And that could give you an indication as well.
Yeah, 100%. Love that.
Zach, this was such a great conversation. I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your perspectives and your advice with us today. I know every listener is going to get a ton of value out of this one. So really appreciate you being here.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks again. And to everyone out there listening, just remember to be you and find your superpower and get to a place of power and control and belief in yourself that you are capable, you can do it, and your success is just around the corner.
I love that. And hey, I would be remiss not to add that Zach is one of the incredible coaches on our team. So if you've ever thought about or considered working with us and you feel like Zach's style is something that you're really drawn to, you could have the opportunity to work directly with him. So if you want to apply, we'll put the note, we always put the application in the show notes, but Zach is a coach on our team. So if that is something you're drawn to and you want the opportunity to work with him, then don't miss your chance.
Come see us.
That's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Zach, and I hope you're leaving this episode feeling like you know a little bit more about how to focus on what you can control in the interview process. Focus on your experience, your superpowers, and being authentic, instead of spiraling about all of the things you can't predict. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you on the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you love today's episode, or if you want to continue the conversation, come hang out with me on LinkedIn. Connect with me, follow me, or message me over there. I'm at linkedin.com/in/Carly-Agar. And if you haven't already, don't forget to follow the show wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. I'll catch you next time.